grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. This morning we consider the words of the evangelist Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 as follows. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, truest friend to you and me, dear friends in Christ, we tend to use the word priceless in a rather careless way, don't we? If you think about it for more than a few moments, you'll realize that there are very few objects in this world to which that adjective really fits. For instance, in 1934, a free diver working off the island of Palawan in the Philippines found a giant clam. And when he cracked it open, he discovered a huge pearl, the largest pearl ever found, called the Pearl of Allah. It was 9 inches across and weighed 14 pounds. Now, you might describe this pearl as priceless. But if you did, you'd be wrong. Very valuable, yes, but it does have its price. A couple of years ago, it was valued at $93 million. So it's extremely expensive, but not priceless. Presumably, if you were very wealthy and had that amount of money, you'd be in a position to actually purchase that pearl. By way of contrast, Jesus truly is your priceless treasure. For no amount of money will buy you the benefits that you get when you become a subject in his kingdom through faith. That's why our theme, once again this morning, is Jesus' priceless treasure. On the first day of school, we discussed the fact that a Christian's first reaction on discovering the precious treasure that belongs to him in Jesus must be, "I will suffer naught to hide thee." But when a believer discovers this newfound wealth, he must also be compelled to say something else. Not just, "I will suffer naught to hide thee," but also, "Naught I ask beside thee." For the longer you're a Christian, the more the Holy Spirit will convince you of the truth that there is nothing you really need, nothing that is worthy of your desire that doesn't already belong to you through faith in Christ. We might think there is. We might act as though there is something we need in addition to Jesus or alongside of Jesus. For us older adults, it might be something like a prestigious career or a very expensive home or a car that's very luxurious. And we desire those things and they become the focus of our lives. We concentrate on acquiring those things. What about young people? Perhaps it's an obsession with fashion or with getting your own first car, possibly a special relationship, or, dare I say, a wireless device. You think to yourself, "If only I could get that thing, then I'd have everything I need. Yes, I need Jesus, but I need that thing too." And perhaps subtly at first, the focus begins to shift away from Jesus, to shift away from his grace. No. Snap your eyes back to the cross. There's nothing you need more than that. Really, when you come down to it, there's nothing you need other than that. When the merchant in our parable found his priceless treasure, his one pearl of great price, his response was automatic. He had to acquire it, and he did. Who, when he had found the one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I'm sure it wasn't easy, but he did whatever he had to do. He made whatever arrangements, sold all his other stock, because he had to have that one pearl of supreme value. If he could only possess that priceless treasure, he would ask for nothing else. You know, it was the same thing for the Apostle Paul. Once he possessed the priceless treasure of salvation through faith in Christ, he said in effect, "Not I ask beside thee." In Philippians chapter 3, we read, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count also all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." My prayer is that the very same thing may be true of each one of you. That each one of you will be able to say, "Not I ask beside thee. If only I may have you, my priceless treasure, Jesus, I will ask for nothing more in life." If you can say that, then your life will change. If all the sacrifices you may be called upon to make for the gospel will seem truly minor in comparison to what you get. In that connection, I often think about my former parish, the Christians at Ascension Lutheran Church in Tacoma. A very small group of believers. While I was there, I don't think they ever numbered more than 50 communicants, probably average Sunday attendance in the 20s somewhere. But in 2003, that little group of believers decided to do something big for the Lord. They got tired of worshiping in rented quarters and determined to build a church for the glory of God. And at great personal sacrifice for each one of those Christians, they acquired a 5-acre property on a very important local arterial street with a beautiful, spacious home on it. Later, they built a lovely chapel in which to worship their Lord together. You can imagine the tremendous amount of effort and time and money that it must have taken for such a small group of people to develop a property that by this time certainly is valued in the several million dollar range. Well, the 10-year anniversary rolled around in 2013, and I thought I'd try an experiment, so I went around and talked to all those members and asked them whether they regretted making the sacrifices that they had had to make to acquire that property and build the church. And unsurprisingly, none of them said that they regretted it. What did surprise me was that nearly all of them said they didn't remember making any sacrifices at all. Compared to what they had gained, compared to the riches of the gospel that God had poured out on that group of believers, anything that they had spent faded into insignificance. And that story has been repeated over and over again all across our Church of the Lutheran Confession. Many of you I know would have similar stories you could tell. Jesus, priceless treasure, not I ask beside thee. If you can say that, then the material things in your life, they'll fade into the background where they belong. Then the trinkets and trappings, the cars and the fashions and the devices and the toys no longer need to trouble your heart and consume your attention. The Lord who gave his life for you can and certainly will supply all your needs. As Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Then you can lead a life of joy, knowing that the one thing needful, you've already got. Then you can say, "Lord Jesus, thou art my portion. Everything else in my life is but rubbish and rust compared with thee, my priceless treasure. I will suffer not to hide thee, not I ask beside thee." Amen. We'll conclude with stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn 347.